Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she as well as her.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, one demisexual licensed mental health counselor who is dabbling in temperature play.
Ooh. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host will talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we will hit you with interviews with insightful folks. This episode, we're talking about managing coronavirus-related anxiety. Good sex-positive legislation to up your spirits. Glass dildos and temperature play. Intimate partner violence in the time of coronavirus. Cute social distancing dates and job hunting as a Gen Zer, and a lot more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising Community, CUMMUNITY. You can head to innerhouseuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a hoe, and check out our merch.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into our first segment, which is Hoe of the Week. Love you, niggas. If you are a new listener, we give our Hoes of the Week nicknames. It is a tradition on the Inner Ho Uprising podcast, and it is a very fun one. So, our Hoes of the Week are Tia, aka Tina Belcher, who became a patron. We got Samantha, aka Scaff Beezy, who bought some merchandise. We got Jen, aka Kylo Jen, who became a patron. We got Chameleon here, Chameleon there, Tougher Than Nigerian here, aka Camille, which is actually her real name, who purchased some merchandise. And Devin, aka Nightwing, who purchased merchandise. New game. Everyone can guess why their nickname is their nickname.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because there are reasons for all of that. And some of it is embedded in the people's last names, but we tend to like make people anonymous. So You yourself who got a nickname, guess why your nickname is your nickname. And email it to us at ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Addition, I just like games.
I know. She's
playing around. Oh my God. No, not Jigsaw. We want to give some additional praise to Martini, Tawini, Erlini, and Chameleon Hair. Chameleon there, Tougher Than Nigerian Hair, who joined me during last week's Monday Night Live show on Patreon. That is a show I host bi-weekly for our $5 and up patrons. If social distancing is getting to you, you might want to consider joining us for those. It's always a really fun and communal time where we chat about shit that's growing on the world as a group. And the chat really drives the conversation. I am just the vessel, so... it's a really interactive kind of thing. Okay. And if you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerho. You can become a patron on patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written or on social media. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can purchase some merchandise at innerhouseuprising.com/merchandise. And the links to all of that are in the show notes. Now, Akua, as always, has put together a fabulous self-care tip of the week for us, and I think we all fucking need it.
Oh, thank you. So our self-care tip of the week is going to be managing corona-related anxiety or health anxiety that has been sparked by the coronavirus. These are going to be 4 somewhat simple steps on ways to manage your anxiety. The first one will be to get the facts and remove the excess stimuli. So right now, if you're on social media, if you're watching the news, there are just updates upon updates, death tolls and number of cases and all of this information flooding you at once. You cannot be on any type of screen without getting an update of some kind.
Can I add one insert in there as well? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of numbers that I think the layman doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are overdoing what the impact might mean to them, and a lot of people are underdoing what the impact might mean to them and others. Mm-hmm. Using the same numbers, and it's just like it's not good to look at a headline without any context. Mm-hmm. And I think that consistently scrolling through social media or even just like news updates without reading the article is that, and that's like detrimental to your mental health in the way that Aku is saying it is.
Agreed. Yeah. All of that is contributing to the panic that people are feeling and then enacting in these behaviors. So the first tip is to identify two reliable sources. For me, that has been the CDC for a national overview, and then like New York one, or like the New York City government website for like what's happening in New York City. And that's it. Mm. Everybody else gotta go. Mm-hmm. Because it's so much about what's happening in other countries, other states, and that amps up the panic. So getting one that's like a larger overview of what's happening in your country and one that's happening in your local center, and then cutting out the rest. Okay. More than likely, these are reliable sources that are going to have the actual facts with explanations with them anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need rather than false information or, you know, twisted facts. Or, you know, all this other stuff.
Not Dr. Umar Johnson on Twitter.
No.
I will recommend if you are looking for a online newspaper or magazine, the New York Times has taken off its paywall for all coronavirus related articles.
There we go.
That's pretty beneficial.
I'm suggesting to be mindful of the media that we consume and how it's contributing to our panic. It's like when you're on social media and you're seeing like videos and stories of like long lines at supermarkets and you're like, oh my God, why am I not there buying everything that I need to ever have in my whole entire life?
Need more toilet paper.
I'm going to run out of everything. They're buying it all. All of that contributes to the panic or constant updates about, again, death tolls or who got it or who tested positive or how many new cases there are that day. Be mindful of how much of that you're taking in and limit that information to, I say, about like 30 minutes of information seeking. So typically at the top of every day, they'll have all of the information from last night up until that day. And that could be a good time, or at the evening, they'll have all of last night into this whole day. And I know that it's that a lot of sources are like stopping with certain updates at like 4 o'clock and refreshing at the top of every day. Mm. So you'll always be up to date. Mm-hmm. Limit the amount of time that you're consuming this information. Mm-hmm. You do not need to be on watch all day, every day.
Yeah, you are not. Shout out to the people in the group chats who are like, here it is. Like, you are not Dan Rather, my nigga. I saw that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you think that that's a coping mechanism?
Staying on top of it can make some people feel like they're in control of like dispensing information, but then you start to spin out of control. The more it's pumped out, you can't keep up with it all. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I was just trying to psychologize why people are in.
And some people just like to be the first to break the news. Like, they the one on the block. Like,
I was there.
We all get the notification. I saw it. I too saw it.
Cuomo told me, nigga. Y'all not going to school. I'm He texted me, actually.
And in the same vein of that, focus on what you can control. So some people want to control the
step two.
Yes. Want to feel in control of how this information is coming out and them being abreast on it. For you, if that's not your bag, if that's not how you want to stay in control, you can start by identifying, normalizing, and challenging the worrying thoughts that come into your head. Like when you're watching these videos of the people with the long lines, you're like, oh my God, why am I not there? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you there? Do you need to be there? Are there things in your home that you already have and that's why you thought, I don't need to buy extra milk. I got a carton at home. Mm. And you want to do that by reality testing, which is, again, is really asking yourself, why do I need to do this? What is the benefit of me, you know, doing this? How much evidence do I have to support this? And then identifying more realistic things. So like, oh my God, I'm not at these lines. I'm going to run out of everything and won't have anything. How likely is that going to, you know, to really come to fruition? Mm-hmm. That you've eaten every scrap of edible food in your home.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
Also, I mean, then might be a good time to look at what you have consumed about other countries. And you think about like Italy, that's a country that's on complete lockdown. The supermarkets are still open.
Uh-huh. And I always, for people with general anxiety, I always tell them to set a time to worry. Because we worry all day. Give yourself 5 minutes at the top of the day. This is my worrying time. After that, I can't worry. I got to save it for next week, next Monday at 5 o'clock. So if you feel like a lot of it's not controllable, you sit down, and I suggest like free writing or journaling, or just this is my time, my set time, and limit it yourself. It can't be 6 hours. That's not how this goes. This is my set time to worry and ideate about all the things that can go wrong. And then we cut ourselves off and we move on. Another way to focus on what you can control is by taking the steps that the public health officials have recommended.
It's a great point. It's a great
that is
point.
Doing literally what you can. They said, these are the things that you can do. Let me do them.
Yeah.
And that is do the fives. Wash your hands with soap and water. If you have access to soap and water, hand sanitizer is also great. But we are really stressing washing our hands for 20 seconds. Our last post about Kia's My Neck and My Back has really helped me to estimate 20 seconds because I know that verse.
And start from All You Ladies Pop Your Pussy Like This and end at
Your Neck, My Back, Lick My Coochie and My Crack. Like it's
like when I turn the water on, like it just starts playing.
It has. It's literally, ever since you posted that, it has literally started in my head. And now I'm washing my hands for 20 seconds.
You can also sing Happy Birthday twice if you're a bass.
Sure.
Bitch.
There's a lot of things you can sing, you know? Yeah. We can do some Beyonce. But find 20 seconds of interval time that you know off the top of your head and get in them hands underneath the nails and everything. Cough into the elbow. Cough in your clothing, just not on your hand or out in the air. Do not touch your face. Mm-hmm. This is hard.
I've been really
mindful of how much I touch my face now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that my hands be all up in my nose for no goddamn reason. None whatsoever. But if you have touched your face, if you're implementing step number one and washing your hands more frequently, it puts you at less risk. Mm. And just try again to be mindful of touching our face when not needed. Mm. You know, clean out your nose with the tissue. Don't pick your nose. Clean your eye boogers out with tissue. Don't get all up in there. Mm-hmm. Or wash your hands before you do so. Mm-hmm. Stay more than 3 feet or 3 steps apart from people when mm-hmm. you are in spaces in which you cannot avoid people. Just be mindful of how close you are. Take 3 steps back. They take 3 steps back. We're in a safe distance now to converse, to sneeze, to do whatever we need to do in this interaction.
Mm-hmm. But if you do sneeze, do it in your elbow.
And again, if you do sneeze across.
I'm 3 feet away, so ha-choo.
Nah.
Akua said.
Again, we're not leaving one step to do another. No, they're all together. Mm. All together now.
It's a process.
And if you feel sick, just stay home mm-hmm. if you can. Mm-hmm. It can be very privileged for us to say, you know, just stay home. But if you can, if you're not feeling well, I feel like this is a time where a lot of employers are understanding mm-hmm. of the need to kind of engage in these behaviors and stay home and isolate. The symptoms include a fever, include coughing, dry coughing, include
fatigue.
So if you're feeling any of those, if you're just not feeling right in your body, just call and say, hey, you know what? I cannot make it to the bar today. I'm sorry. It's your birthday. I need to stay at home.
If you don't feel sick and you are in a state that has advised you to do so, also stay your ass
yes.
the fuck at home, because that's protecting yourself and it's also protecting the other people around mm-hmm. you. So do the sex. Don't nobody want you in the bar, nigga. Unless you're working there and you have to.
Those are the 5 things by public health officials that you can do to help you feel more control and feel like you're proactively adding to what's going on. Make a contingency plan. Identify what you can do to work from home if able. You know how you can plan for childcare, what you can do to self-quarantine if needed. Make that plan, see what your options are, and then leave that plan there. Because guess what? Contingency plans are there in the moment you need to continge. I don't know if that's a word, but they the backup. We don't make that plan and start enacting it now. Mm-hmm. They there when it's needed. So you make that plan, you know you got it, you leave it there, you stick to your day-to-day until you are told otherwise or you feel the need to do otherwise.
Okay.
To feel in control of what you have at home in case you need to enact this contingency plan, take inventory of what you got in your house. Just like you do when you're grocery shopping, making a list of what you don't have, going out and buying only one of those items. Maybe 2 max. Mm-hmm. Meal prep in case you are of the higher risk population and you do fall sick. You don't have to worry about cooking and getting up and doing laborious things. Mm-hmm. You or buy frozen foods, frozen meals when you're already out in the supermarket so that, you know, if you are falling sick or if you are end up being the caretaker of someone who has fallen sick, some of the tasks are easier to do than normal. You can pop it in the microwave. We can eat. We can pop it in the oven. We can eat. Above all, stick to your regular routines. Our routines are what helps us to feel in control. Eat what you normally eat. Add some extra fruits and vegetables for some vitamins, you know, if it's a good time. Try to get as much sleep as you normally do. Remember your sleep hygiene. Take your medications. Pick up your medications from the pharmacy if they're ready, you know? We're not going to the pharmacist and tell him to run all his drugs. Nah, just pick up what's yours. You got 30 days. Step three is to self-soothe, or coping mechanisms, as I love to call them. During your time, if you're quarantined or if you're just anxious, you can journal. You can meditate via YouTube apps. Breathing techniques also through apps and through YouTube. You can walk your dog. You can Netflix binge. What I've noticed on Netflix as trending are all of these disease outbreak movies. Mm. Let's go back to the top of this when I said be mindful of what you consume. Mm-hmm. We do not need to flood ourselves with these worst case scenarios in drama and film. Mm-hmm. There are some people who that does help for some reason.
But if you know that that's not
you. But if you know that's not your bag, don't do it. Yeah. No need to add to the panic. Mm-hmm. We don't need to watch The Day After Tomorrow. We don't.
I love that movie. I will actually put that on right now.
Masturbate.
That's always good.
Always good. And apparently now there's so much information about how masturbating is boosting our immune system. Let's get to it. Use positive affirmations. Create, write down, and repeat affirmations regarding your health. Remind yourself that you are relatively healthy. Remind yourself that you have made all of your doctor checkups. Remind yourself that you have taken all the steps that you can to ensure that you are safe in this time. Remind yourself that if you, for some reason, become fallen sick, it is a biological function. It is meant to happen to someone. You will be okay. Positive affirmations. Move your body, whether that is stretching, whether that is calisthenics, whether that is dancing, twerking, hula hooping in your home. Anxiety sits in our muscles, sits in our bodies. Getting that out helps. Use this time to engage in hobbies or learn new hobbies. Meal prepping can be one of those things. Crochet or knit, draw, color, paint, take photos, learn to do graphics, declutter your email inbox. That helped me particularly today. I was feeling anxious and seeing those notifications of like 155 emails did not help. And I said, you know what I can do in this time? I can delete these shits. And that helped. Doing something mindless and just kind of repetitive helped. Fourth step, stay connected and seek support. Our anxiety can spiral to a point where we feel like these things are affecting us and us alone, and it's not. We are a larger community where everyone's going through this panic, everyone's going through this anxiety. Get in your group chats, whether it's via text, whether it's Facebook groups, y'all know the places. Talk to friends, family, peers. Get in there talking to people. You're not alone. You can video call people. You can phone call people. For those who do not have social media or are not, you know, of advanced technology, I'm thinking about the geriatric population, you know, call your grandma.
Call your grandma, son.
Grandma might have FaceTime because you hooked up the last time. FaceTime your grandma.
Yeah.
Send memes to your friends. And laugh about it. Play online games, or there's a whole bunch of y'all playing Worldcraft or whatever it is. I don't know. But y'all know the online games I'm talking
World
about.
World of Warcraft.
There you go. When it's four of y'all in here with headsets and we're all talking about it, get in one of those. Mm-hmm. Listen to podcasts. I always feel like I'm talking to my best friends as I listen to them. Mm-hmm. Seek online forms of therapy if your anxiety is something that you cannot manage alone. BetterHelp, we have our IHU code. A lot of therapists and practitioners are moving to telehealth in this time. So you can, if you already have a therapist, you can speak to them about what their telehealth options are going to be or currently are, and moving to that so that you have your professional support still there. And be considerate of others. Donate to a food bank. Help high-risk others. Send money. If you have an older neighbor that you know is in the high-risk population, going out to the supermarket and getting milk for them. That lets you know that even though things are kind of swirling right now, there's still good things that you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, go to the pharmacy and pick up their meds. You know, pick up a couple of cans of beans and donate it to the food bank while you're out, so other people who y'all done cleared the grocery shelves for can actually still have access to these goods as they line up for their local food pantry. Mm-hmm. Send money to the sex workers and the freelancers and the people who are now affected economically and cannot, you know, make money the way that they used to. And, you know, connecting with people, send them a couple of dollars so that they are not freaking out. Those altruistic actions can help us feel more control of what's happening, that I can do good in this world and it's not all going to go swirling down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are the ways to cope with your corona related anxiety.
Yay.
Good luck, guys.
Good luck. Be safe. Let us know how you've implemented these into your life. Also, this episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is brought to you by you. That's right, you, the fucking homies. All of our Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple, Stitcher, shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases all make this show possible week in and week out. Thank you, homies. Your donations particularly mean a lot at this moment because as a podcast, we've had a couple of speaking gigs that do bring us cash get canceled. And as a freelancer, I have lost out on money because three of my gigs have been canceled. If you are able and you would be so kind, you can hit us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerho, on Patreon at patreon.com/innerhouprising, and for the times, a shameless plug, if you want to support your favorite freelancing principal host, you can hit me on the Cash App at $SAMRIDD.
Send some dollars her way, y'all.
All of which will be in the show notes.
All right.
Okay, now we're going to get into a segment that we like to call
Fuck That.
I would like to say, because things of the nature that we're talking about or will be talking about a little bit later are changing very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was recorded on Sunday, March 15th, 2020 at 6:59 p.m. So please keep that in mind regarding all news updates that are relevant to that specific date. All right, so our first story this week is going to be regarding domestic violence and COVID-19. All right, so for the duration of this portion right here, we're going to be touching on some reports coming out of China, along with some predictions out of America and some resources. I'm not getting into any details here, so I am going to say content warning for a discussion on domestic violence, but this won't be graphic or anything of that sort. So, China. In early March, a Chinese publication called Sixth One and the author Zhang Wanqing published an article titled Domestic Violence Cases Surge During COVID-19 Epidemic. That is when it was considered an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Changed to pandemic a little bit later in the month. So the link to that article will be in the show notes, but I did want to touch on some things in that article and kind of pull it out to the states and then kind of pull it out to resources. So according to this article, domestic violence cases have seen an uptick as some folks in China have been quarantined at home with their abusers. A police station in Jianli County had received 162 reports of domestic violence in February, which is actually three times more than the 47 reported cases during the same month of the previous year. The number of cases reported in January had also doubled compared to the same period last year. And this is all information gotten from that police station in Jianli County. And in this article, the journalist also spoke to a retired police officer who used to work at that police station, I believe, and who went on to found an anti-domestic violence nonprofit in Jingzhou. And that's the founder of that nonprofit says that according to their statistics, 90% of the cases of violence are related to the COVID-19 epidemic, whether it be folks who are quarantined because of the epidemic or folks who are abusers using something about the epidemic to inflict abuse upon the survivor. I do want to note that that is something that this founder of the nonprofit said, but they didn't link to any sources or any lists of calls that they've received or anything like that. So I just want to put in like a grain of salt. Juan does believe, though, that the fear and anxiety from extended quarantine, as well as the economic strain put on many families, have contributed to the uptick. Meanwhile, support systems for survivors of domestic violence have weakened. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put the link to that story in the show notes. I want to bring what is happening in China to the context of the United States. That is not because I intend to minimize what is happening in China or the fact that this is probably going to happen all over the world, because at this point, the world is being affected by this disease. But I am moving to the States because I don't have much access to information about what is going on in China, and because of the majority of our listeners being based in the States and just not in China. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have any listeners in China from looking at the statistics. I am, however, leaving the link to the article in the show notes, like I said, for those who'd like to learn more. Also, for those who would like to hear my take and the chat's take on that article, it is available on our Patreon by way of our Monday Night Live show. And you can see that by going to patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. Those chats are typically $5 and up for patrons, but because I feel like these are big and important conversations about time-sensitive topics, I actually just took it off the paywall, so you can head over to patreon.com/innerhoeuprising and watch that whole thing. All right. We also talked about how HIV positive folks are being affected in China because of COVID-19 in that live. Moving on to an article that involves the States. So there was an article in Vice titled "Domestic Abuse Could Spike as the Coronavirus Traps People Indoors." It was written by Carter Sherman. So according to that article, when bad wet, this is how they began the article. When bad weather traps people indoors, calls to the Seattle area anti-domestic violence organization LifeWire spike. And with the spread of the novel coronavirus, LifeWire's executive director Rachel Krinsky says they expect rising tension and likely rising violence, which makes everybody more vulnerable, the survivor and the children at home. You know, one of the reasons why they're framing this article in Seattle is because that was like the first place that saw major effects of the COVID-19 pandemic stateside. So Seattle's LifeWire, as well as the National Service, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, have not yet seen surges in calls or chats related to COVID-19 and domestic violence. However, here are some things that they think will come into question in the future, along with some possible answers. So just to get these things going in your brain. What will court cases against abusers look like in the midst of something like social distancing and or quarantine? Kimberlina Cavern of New York's Domestic Violence Survivor Resource Safe Horizons suggests that survivors may have to teleconference. What will shelters for domestic violence survivors look like amidst quarantine and social distancing? Doris O'Neill, the program manager of domestic violence services for Seattle's YWCA, suggests that she wouldn't turn away any survivors with symptoms, but instead try to help women get tested for coronavirus and figure out a plan. She also said, which kind of brought like everything that's going on in context to me, she said, "I don't have all the answers because things are happening. It's almost bringing tears to my eyes. I'm stressed the hell out." Mm-hmm. So yeah, I say that to say that many of these things are still being figured out, but I want us to all, like, there's so much going on. I want us to still hold space for survivors of domestic violence in this time, because like some people are not thinking at all. Mm-hmm. Some people are not thinking big picture at all. And when people are thinking big picture, they might miss the nuances of people who are affected by this, or the nuanced ways that people are affected by this disease. In the meantime, if you are a survivor or know a survivor, the National Domestic Violence Hotline or perhaps one of your local resources for domestic violence survivors are there to help you come up with a safety plan during this time. A safety plan is a personalized, practical plan that includes ways to remain safe while in a relationship, planning to leave, or after you leave. In the time of COVID-19, that might look like avoiding certain rooms or objects that can be used as weapons while quarantined with an abuser, or it could mean making a plan to socially isolate with a friend or at a motel as opposed to the person who is abusing you. That definition is from the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and the link to that is thehotline.org. That will also be in the show notes for this episode. While they're not reporting on surges of calls regarding COVID-19 and domestic violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline has had chatters write in, with some COVID-19 specific instances of violence. If this is content that you do not wish to hear, you can fast forward to the time code listed in the show notes. If the following is something that sounds like you or someone you know, you might want to consider reaching out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline or a local resource and start devising a safety plan. Here are some things that National Domestic Violence Hotline has heard from survivors. Some have said a chatter mentioned that the abuser was using the virus as a scare tactic to keep the survivor away from their kids. Another chatter said that the abuser was using COVID-19 as a scare tactic so that they would not visit their family. And lastly, a health professional still living with their abuser called and said that they were physically abused that night because their abuser was sure they were trying to infect them with COVID-19. So if any of that, once again, if any of that sounds like you or someone you know, it is worth reaching out to one of these resources to start devising a safety plan. You can find the links and numbers to those kinds of resources in the show notes for this episode. And now Akua is going to tell us about some happier things.
Thank you for that, Sam.
You're welcome.
I just told you guys to be mindful of all the information that you're taking in about the coronavirus. And I know it's coming at you guys from all areas. And though we strive to keep people informed with, you know, good information, we also know that people take this podcast as an escape or a break. So I wanted to talk about the sex positive legislation that's being passed that we're not hearing in our current news cycle because we're being informed about the coronavirus. And there's been some good things happening.
There have been some good things happening, especially in Virginia.
The Virginians. they're getting to it. So first up in the good old state of New York. New York minors can now change their gender markers on their birth certificate. So this happened at the top of this week on March 10th that the Attorney General Letitia James, and I didn't know we had a black girl attorney general. I was like, go ahead, black girl. Look at that. Yeah, Miss Letitia James announced changes to the New York State Department of Health policy that will allow trans minors or all minors to correct their gender marker and their sex markers on their birth certificate so that their documentation is more gender affirming.
That's dope.
This has been legal for adults in New York since 2014. Even for the adults, it had some roadblocks. So the previous policy, you had to be 18 years or older. You had to have a notarized affidavit from a medical professional attesting to gender affirming surgical procedures being done, evaluation and or treatment. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lie. As a person that works in the healthcare system, to get a medical professional, if it's
not... You start that at 14, you're not going to finish until you're an adult anyway.
At all. To get all that done is a lot. There's financial barriers in there. What if you don't want, you know, gender-affirming surgeries or procedures?
Right.
That's not for the state to decide for you so that your documentation matches. Mm-hmm. Nor is the state going to fund it for you. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But now, with the new changes in place, you only have to complete an application. You have to be 17 and older. If you're 16 and younger, your parent can sign the application for you. And then you have to have a notarized but self-affirming affidavit of your gender. So they have a template in which that you sign and get notarized saying that you are your gender as you identify. It does not need to be signed and notarized by a medical professional. They take your word for it as they should. And there's no need for medication, treatment, surgeries, or otherwise. This didn't come just because the state saw that there was a misstep or outdated policy. It always comes at the expense, at the labor, at the fight of someone trying to get this passed. And that happened to be a young trans minor going by the initials of MHW, who sued the state for the right to do this, which got the ball rolling and eyes on the fact that this policy was outdated. Virginia, them niggas out there doing good things. So Virginia has banned conversion therapy for minors. As of the top of this month, the beginning of March, Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam banned conversion therapy for minors to be effective starting July 1st. A quick refresher, conversion therapy is a set of practices that are aimed to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity to align with what is cishet heteronormative values, typically. It's pseudoscience that has been debunked and is very harmful for people's mental health. What would typically happen is that parents would sign their children up for conversion therapy starting in like adolescence or even younger and continue. Now minors cannot be signed up or forced or mandated into this kind of quote unquote treatment, but adults can still sign themselves up if they choose to. And, you know, that's their individual. Yeah, that's their individual independent choice. Virginia is the first Southern state to enact a law like this to ban conversion therapy. And it's one out of 20, including Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Hawaii, and the District of Columbia. On top of that, Virginia is also passing and is also banning any LGBTQIA discrimination at the state level. At the top of this year, they passed their Virginia Values Act, which added sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected classes in the state's public and or private employment, housing, and public accommodations law. So you cannot be discriminated against in terms of sexual identity or gender identity when looking or going for public or private employment, housing, or other public accommodations that the state offers. They have also created new state level mechanisms to address complaints if this is this if you are to face this kind of discrimination, meaning that the complaints can now go two routes. So they can go through the state courts or they can go through the federal courts. So before this, there's only federal Title IX, I believe, that would protect you against these kinds of discrimination. So you would have to go through federal courts, which is a slower process. And now the state courts are to be handling these complaints as well. Okay. And providing justice. So I hope that it doesn't stop there for Virginia, because they on a roll. They are on a roll. So they have also passed bills that will introduce gender neutral terms into divorce laws. So no longer referring to people as husband and wife, but parties in a marriage. I was like, okay. They are passed bills to change the processes and changing gender markers on the birth certificates as well. Their old policy also required gender reassignment surgery, and that is no more. And they're also passing bills to streamline the treatment of trans children in elementary and middle schools. So they out there working. They writing them bills in the Congress of Virginia.
Love to see it.
And yes to Virginia for that. Last but definitely not least is Washington, who is mandating comprehensive sex education throughout the whole state. So they passed a bill that has made comprehensive sex education a requirement across all public schools and grades in the state. This has passed their House and their Senate. I think that's how that works. I don't know how that works. But it's waiting signature or veto by their governor at the moment. The bill proposes that at the start of the academic year next year, the year after next, 2021 to 2022, schools must start providing students with age-appropriate sex education at least twice between sixth and eighth grade. So a class in the sixth grade, a class in the seventh, a class in the seventh, a class in the eighth. You have at least two classes, two contacts with age-appropriate sex education, and then twice again during high school. By the 2020-2023 academic school years, the law would move to expand instruction to elementary school grades four and five, not kindergarten through third. It mandates that the curriculum has to be age appropriate, medically accurate, and evidence-based. So no more of that abstinence talk. And it has to include discussion regarding affirmative consent, how to give and receive affirmative consent or enthusiastic consent, as we say. It has to provide bystander training for others to intervene when witnessing unwanted sexual contact between people. For younger kids, they have to receive lessons that teach them how to express their emotions, accurately name their body parts for the name of them, and how to find a trusted adult to report or discuss sexual abuse.
Wow. Truly love to see it.
They not playing.
Nice. That is like really dope.
I read, I was like, okay.
These are kids that I want to see flourish in society.
In society. So shout outs to Washington for putting that out there. And, you know, Jay Inslee, Mr. Governor, you got to sign that bill.
Thank you for that. That was a breath of fresh air. Now let's go on to a breath of fresh ass. Is your sex toy collection looking a little dry? we've got just the goodie bag to get those juices flowing. Your favorite queer, black, feminist podcasters, Inner Ho Uprising, are teaming up with the sex toy boutique, Babeland, to give a sexy goodie bag, aka a ho bag, to one lucky winner. How do I win, you might be asking? Well, you can head over to innerhouseuprising.com/hobagsweepstakes and sign up for our weekly newsletter, or you can click the link in our show notes, and that's it. You're actually winning twice because the newsletter is a goodie bag in and of itself filled with sex-positive content from four Black baddies with tips and tricks on how to have a fulfilling, shame-free sex life. It's just like stuff that isn't on the show. Like, the show is jam-packed already. All that extra shit goes in the fucking newsletter. You should definitely check it out. Entrance must be 18 and older to play. Sorry to the ute dem, but if you still want to sign up for the newsletter, that's fine. Just don't do it on that page, though. Please do it on the homepage. And the winner will be selected from a list of entrants at random on April 2nd. When the winner is chosen, they'll be asked to verify their age by Inner Ho Uprising before the prize is shipped. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. What you doing? In a segment that we like to call Fuck Me, about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. As you know, there is something called the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge, in which I go on a date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute dates. This season, you give me cute dates. Yada, yada, yada. You all know it. You all know it by now. On this past week's date, I did not go on a date, because in order to help slow the spread of the novel coronavirus and flatten the curve of infections of less people to a greater amount of time, I am socially distancing myself. And if you are already not doing that and you have been advised to do so in your current area of residence, you motherfucking should.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the demographic of people who are unlikely to be severely affected by the virus, you can still be a carrier of the virus and you can spread it to other folks. And if your response might be, niggas die every day, B, that is a flippant fucking response to people's health, and you are a selfish person, but I want you to know that guess what? You're still affected, because that's how societies work. A large and unexpected influx of sick people in hospitals like the one we are on the cusp of, at least in this here United States, and that other countries have seen, puts a strain on the entire society, because hospitals, an institution meant to treat people who are sick or injured, can't continue to treat people if there is no space for people.
Okay.
Because then there's no space for people with the actual coronavirus. There's no space for people facing injuries from things like a fire or a car accident. There's no space for people who've just had an asthma attack, people who have cancer, people who accidentally fell and broke their legs, so forth and so on.
And none of those things stop because we're focused on the coronavirus. People none need hospitals every minute.
They are a function of society. And guess what? In the society, so are you. Do your job. Be a better person. All that being said, here are some cute date ideas that you can consider with your bae. So I think this actually might be a recurring segment, at least in the time of social distancing. So I'm just going to give two right now. And I got these two from a Twitter user named @TheGrants.
Mm-hmm.
New York's Metropolitan Opera House will be offering free digital shows every night at 7:30 p.m. every day from Monday, March 16th through Sunday, March 22nd. I'll put the link to where you can watch that in the show notes, but I just want to say opera is really fucking expensive. So
a free show.
You could just fucking watch that shit
from the comfort of your home.
Hook your computer up to your TV, lay back, get some wine, because opera is mad fucking ridiculous and funny and extravagant. And if you are with the person who you're self-isolating with, then watch it with them. Or if you're self-isolating from each other, get that nigga on FaceTime.
There
watch
we go.
Some fucking opera.
They got the link too. We're watching it together.
Yeah. Just like make fun of it together, because when I went to the opera, I went to the opera two times as a college student, as a college student and as an adult. I went as an adult last year. And like, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, it's drama or whatever, mm-hmm. like ridiculous drama that was written like 200 years ago and things like that. So I went to see Carmen and like, it was fun and good, but like, there were things to be made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like snickering a little bit. But those people will tell you to shut the fuck up mm-hmm. in the opera, and they will also kick you out in the opera. So now you can be as loud as you want to be and watch the opera for free.
For free.
This is a very cool thing. Additionally, if you are the type of person who likes to watch documentaries and chill, the Environmental Film Festival in the nation's capital was supposed to be happening. It is the world premiere showcase of environmentally themed films. And because it has been canceled because of safety precautions regarding the coronavirus, they will be streaming some of their films for free on their website beginning March 16th. And the link to that is also in the show notes. So if you're just like, oh man, there's things about the environment that I don't know and I want to learn, here's the perfect time. You could watch a film with Bae or by yourself, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a recurring segment as of now. If you have any cute virtual or social distance date ideas, you can hit me up at igpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully I can find someone I can stand long enough to participate in one of these dates with. But I think I'm just going to be doing these by myself.
It's fine, too.
That is also
just passes
fine.
The time.
Yes. Cool. What's going on?
So I got my glass toy that I was last talking about.
Yes, you
weeks
did.
Ago. And it has been a good time. It has been a good time,
tell
y'all.
Tell us about it.
So I got the Icicles number 5 toy. It's a phallic-shaped toy that's made of, like, clear glass. And it has, like, these blue swirled ridges around it from head to base.
I'm gonna look it up.
It's by Pipe Dream Toys. I believe that's the company, the name of the company that makes Icicle brands.
Mm. And it's a fun little thing there.
It's, and when I when I first got it, I had to wait, like, I think I had to wait like 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks because I got it, I left it in my car, ended up locking my car in a garage.
Your car was in that garage for 2 weeks?
No.
Oh.
But then after that, that was my weekend without my son. Mm-hmm. And then he was there and I couldn't masturbate, and here we were 2 weeks later when I got time to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say these were some of the quickest orgasms I've had.
Oh shit, I did not expect you to say that.
I too did not expect to experience that. Mm-hmm. But it was, I can't say that it was like hyper anticipation, because it's the first time that I experienced multiple orgasm during masturbation or solo sex ever. I'm usually like one and done.
Oh, okay.
I'm typically one and done in those times. And it was like, I guess because they were so quick, they just could come back to that.
Icicle is out here changing Akuba's whole life.
Just helping a sister. I was just like, ooh, this is some things.
That's nice.
I've always been a fan of temperature play since young, to be quite honest. And I'm more of a cold and a hot kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So like I washed it when I took it out the package, because I wash everything.
Yes.
And just like ran it under tepid water, not even cold, because I can't stand to hold cold things. And it kept that temperature.
It was cold enough.
It was. It kept that temperature the whole time.
Wow.
The whole time. My body heat did not warm it up. Nothing. It was
fascinating.
It was good things. It's the texture of the glass is so smooth, plus lube, which just like slides off the skin so quickly, was just like everything was so, was just, what's the word I'm looking for? It was, fuck it, I can't remember the word I was looking for, but it was just like,
it'll make you lose your memory.
Just think about it. I'm just going back a little bit. It was just so, it was everything was just so smooth and just so slippery in the right ways, and it was just lovely. It was a good time, y'all. A good time. And what that has made me learn is that I need more glass toys.
Okay.
So they just all in a shopping cart, and I'm just like, we about to buy them all. Like,
You're going to toilet paper fucking glass toys.
I am going to panic buy all the glass toys. Oh, but that was the experience that I was waiting for, and I'm very happy. I'm going to try next, and I will report back, actually warming it up.
Okay.
And seeing if that does anything for me.
So you will warm it under warm water.
Yeah, or even hot water, because I can do hot. Like on the package, it says that you can like put it in cold water, or put it in the freezer, put it in warm water, or put it in the microwave. And I was like, the microwave?
Oh shit!
I mean, this like me. This is a little extreme for me.
I can't even take like a fucking hot pocket out.
Exactly.
So what are we doing here, boy?
They gonna make me drop my damn toy and shatter. Like, I'm not gonna mess with that. But I know, because I take showers with, like, the devil's sweat. Like, it's hot.
True.
So I me know too. That I can yeah. put it under some hot water and see what it's doing. See if I like that. I don't think I will, but I could surprise myself.
Experimentation is all you need.
It's all you need.
I'm excited.
Oh, good times.
It's cool in the glass still, though. It's like a fantasy novel. Oh, man. That might be the name of this episode.
Oh, I love
cool in the glass.
The princess in the glass dildo. Okay, that is the fairy tale we are reading to our kids now.
Oh no, fucking Washington State. That's there.
That's a part of the sex education right there for them kids. K through
today
three.
We learn about temperature play. All right, that was fun. I'm excited. I'm happy for you, Gula.
Thank you.
All right, now we are going into our segment that we like to call Fuck You. It is about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And we would also like it if you included your pronouns. And because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail and we'll play it and respond to it on the show. So you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. The number is in the show notes. Okay, today we have a letter from AJ. AJ's pronouns are she, they, and him. AJ is Black, non-binary, and 18 years old. Content warning for depression and suicidal thoughts. The time code for this letter will be in the show notes.
They also don't go... They mention these things, but do not go into depth about them.
Yes, that is worth noting. So AJ writes, I found the podcast sometime last year and I listen constantly. I basically get most of my news from you guys. Love you dearly.
I love you too.
I entered college a year early, and going in too young with unresolved emotional trauma, it was super hard for me. Every day felt like the end of the goddamn world. I wouldn't move from my bed for days at a time, and last semester I got really close to suicide attempts. Before it could get any worse, I decided to move back home and continue everything here. Mental health is important, kids. That it is. But goddamn, finding a job at my age is too goddamn hard. I like all of the goddams in this.
Goddamn.
Everywhere that wants anything wants a whole degree. And as someone who's only worked in office spaces, retail doesn't want me because I have no experience. And offices don't want me because I don't have a degree, or the interviews see me as way too young. One lady said, and I quote, "Aw, you're like a baby. You should only do part-time." Ma'am, I'm not going to pay back this debt with part-time. And all I have is experience in theater, specifically stage management and admin type shit. So I'm like, honestly, do y'all have any job hunting tips for someone who has little to no experience in anything? Love the show. Thanks, guys. Akua has many things to say, so I will let her say all of them.
So one, thank you for listening to us and loving us. We love you. To know that you get your news from us really makes it worthwhile for me, but also get your news from other places as well, just for a well-rounded information.
Yeah, you should.
College transitions, or the period of transition from high school to college, is always difficult for everyone, especially when you have these things like unresolved trauma coming with you. So I'm sorry that it was, you know, so difficult for you. So I'm glad that you, you know, chose to postpone and go back home and kind of reevaluate things. Even though that you've taken yourself from that environment, I do want you, if you aren't already, you know, to look into therapy services, whether it's online with BetterHelp or in person, or if you said that you went back home to continue things there, if you're in like a local college or a community college, utilizing their counseling services, just so that you have support for your mental health, because it doesn't just leave us once we've changed spaces. Now, as for job hunting and job experience because of your age, honestly, at 18, most of us don't got no experience.
It's literally impossible. Like,
we don't got
when was that going to happen?
When was it gonna happen? Mm-hmm. And most people have like fast food that they work during the summer, or part-time on the weekends, or retail that they work in the summer or part-time. But when we're entering the quote-unquote adult job market, no one's really looking at that or considers it serious. So I don't want you to feel like you're alone or you're lacking experience, or because of whatever. At 18, most of us just don't have it. Mm-hmm. Especially not with these jobs to be looking for at that. Like, mm-hmm. especially if you go to college and you are privileged or well enough not to work through college, you end up with a degree with no experience and nothing. Mm-hmm. And they want 5 years experience. You're like, how? Mm-hmm. I just spent 5 years trying to get this degree. You said I need it. Mm-hmm. That's the experience I got. Like, that's it. In the meantime, for job hunting tips, I would say you could utilize some resume editing services to structure your resume, to highlight your strengths and your personality, things that you innately can do. Like, for some reason, I came out the womb knowing how to organize and file. I don't know how, but that's my bag. And that was my bag for a while. And I did a lot of clerical stuff, just being a detail-oriented person. And I had my resume fashion to really show that, even though I did nothing but summer youth since I was like 13.
Can you explain what Summer Youth is?
Summer Youth is a youth and community development program here in New York City that gives, it's a lottery kind of program that helps the youth of New York City find employment during the summer. So we're not at home wasting our lives and hopefully building skills that we can help us enter the job market. Mm-hmm. So you can utilize one of those. There are like those job boards where you can like pay someone like $15 to look at your resume. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sam?
Yeah, so perhaps considering something like Fiverr, who have cheap, we would hope. Don't mm-hmm. spend too much on this, I would say, especially if you don't have it.
Especially because Google can teach you how to do that yourself for free.
YouTube is also a really good resource to learn how to do anything.
Mm-hmm. If you have gone back home and are engaged in some kind of educational service, typically there are career centers and personnel at the local college that will help you.
Additionally, this sucks right now because everything is shut down, but libraries often offer these resources as well.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Like the shit out of these resources. Like they be having it every week.
They like have workshops.
Here's your resume class.
Yes.
For free.
For free.
Come, please.
So see if you're not in New York, see if your local library program or department has that for you guys as well. We also have job centers like Workforce.
Workforce and Job Corps.
And Job Corps, where they have workshops for you as well on learning and helping you edit your resume. So if, again, your local county or, you know, city or whatever has job employment services, that might be also a free way to go in and have some look at your resume. At our Workforce and Job Corps centers, they also, once you've, they have like a whole workshop of like resume reviewing and editing, interviewing skills building and things like that, that they put you through. And then at the end, send you on interviews or, you know, tell you about local job fairs and career fairs and things like that.
Job Corps specifically will offer all of that. And then also if you are, it's like a student program mm-hmm. and it's offered nationally, but I don't know if it's one in every state. But so you'll be trained in things like that. And then if you pick a specific trade that you want to learn, like if you are, I think it's also a lottery program or like you have to like interview for it. Mm-hmm. But if you are accepted, you can go through these kinds of trainings. Like, for example, they have like, they do have like EMT stuff. They have like home health aid kind of stuff. And if you go through that program, then they will also set you up with specific job interviews where you have the experience now and you can interview for positions where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually pretty awesome, honestly.
And
you can do that until you're 26 years old. It's for 18 to 26 year olds or like 16 to 26 year olds.
Yeah. 16, 17 to like mid-20s. Mm-hmm. So yes, resume editing and building and these services, but also office jobs. You said earlier that you've had office jobs, and my assumption is that you didn't have a degree when you got those office jobs before. So why they not hire you now? When I was, for most of undergrad, I did a lot of clerical works, receptionist work, secretary work. And it really was just applying and nailing it in these interviews. Sometimes with job hunting, it really is a numbers game. It's just sending out resumes and cover letters, and you send out 300 and you get 3 hits back. And that can be really daunting for people because it's labor. To put all this out, and with no result, we're easily, you know, discouraged, mm-hmm. but know that it's a probability kind of thing. don't knock the part-time. If you're somewhere, and yes, we all need full-time work, and sometimes our full-time work still does not pay us our worth or what we need to live. But if you are someplace and they're offering you part-time, take it as a foot in the door and secured income until something else happens, or you can get a full-time position. Student loan repayment can be income-based. So, you know, once you have a job and you know how much you make, you go to them like, this is how much I make, and they adjust your payments to match what you can afford on your current income. And also, you have quite a long time to pay these people back. You know, as long as you're alive, they're gonna want their money. So no stress in trying to pay it off in 5 years. Don't stress in paying it off at all. But you ain't hear that from me.
Yeah.
They also have like programs to help with administrative skills, medical coding, billing, HHA for youth 17 to 24 who are no longer in school, apprentice program. So see if your local community, state, city has that as well, and utilize those, because those are typically free. In New York, they pay you a stipend at like, I'm going to say $10 an hour, $10.50 an hour, while you, so you're being paid and you're learning these skills, and then they connect you to opportunities in the real world to continue. So see if your local community or city has something like that for yourself as well.
Pretty comprehensive. I hope that helps. I will put the links to some of the things that we've mentioned in the show notes for this episode, and I will also email you those links as well. Keep us updated. Keep us updated. We hope you find employment soon, and employment that is like affirming for you and makes you feel good as a person, and mm-hmm. a space that respects you as a human being, and mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things.
Yes, yes.
If this episode made you laugh, help you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher, and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate you all.
So if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching it. It's Inaho Uprising Community. CUMMUNITY. You can head to InahoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, and to check out the rest of our merch. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.